Welcome to Final Final, the podcast for brand storytelling and other conundrums. I'm Heather McDee. Hello, welcome back to Final Final. Today, we're going to talk to my friend Brooke Forey, who is the co-founder of a company called Curious & Company, which is a visual branding agency. She is also the creator of an original line of products called Balance Bound, which includes a signature planner and associated paper products. I know I've seen it grow quite a bit over the last few years. It's been really fun to watch from the sidelines. But thank you, Brooke, for coming on. You know, I'm sure everyone would love to get to know a little bit more about who you are and what you do and what is your role in this world of storytelling.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Yes, I co-founded Curious & Company Creative back in 2010, which feels like a world away. I know. It's been a really long time. And so since then, our focus has been on creating branding for mostly small businesses. We do tend to work with a lot of women business owners, local small businesses in the Philadelphia area where we're based. And I think, you know, our main goal is to tell a story with a visual brand in a very succinct, direct way. We never want to overcomplicate, and we know that people of the world have a very short attention span. So keeping a brand design really simple and clean and polished is always our goal, regardless of the type of business owner that we're working with. And then, you know, a couple of years ago, I clearly wasn't busy enough. So kind of took a little passion project detour, and we created the Balance Bound Planner and the line of products that fall under that category. So they're all under the Curious & Company umbrella, but obviously one is service-based and we're working with customer or clients on a daily basis. And then Balance Bound is obviously, you know, a retail line where we are reaching probably a larger audience of customers.
Now, since you work so heavily, you know, Curious & Company, since you work so heavily with small businesses and many women-owned small businesses, what are some of the things that you've learned, or what is a piece of advice you find yourself giving to these small businesses over and over? Like, what is something you wish that they knew as they were building their brand?
You're not going to be able to talk to everyone. You're not going to be able to reach everyone. You know, I think people get stopped up in, we ask a question in our brand discovery process, like, who is your ideal client? Don't tell us this huge range. Don't tell us all of the people. Like, give us one ideal client, what she looks like, what she, where she shops, where she likes to vacation, what her interests are. And sometimes that's really hard for people because they think that their client is everyone or their customer is everyone. And that's just not true. So really making sure our clients understand who they're trying to reach can make our job as designers a lot simpler, because we are just have a better understanding of who that audience is. And it simply can't be everyone. There's too many people in the world, and you're not going to please everyone. So let's focus on that one audience that's going to be your moneymaker, you know, the people that really get you and understand your business.
Now, this one question I have about this, and you may or may not be able to speak to this, but I'm just curious. Do you, you know, as you're working with these small businesses, because a lot of times they have a vision and a dream. I work with a lot of small businesses as well, you know, but it's usually one person doing it all. And it's so overwhelming. Small businesses, as we know, do have a pretty high failure rate. I think the latest statistic was something like 40% fail in the first 5 years. And I think it's actually getting worse over time.
Yeah.
As you are working with them on what's your ideal target customer, like how do you help them figure out who that is? Like, I know for a lot of them, since they're wearing so many hats, there's a lot of things that they're good at. And there are a lot of things that they just don't have a lot of experience in, which is why they hire someone like you to really advise them in some of these strategic decisions. Like, what are some of your thoughts on how to figure out who is my person I'm trying to speak to? Who's that person I'm trying to sell to? Who's that person I'm trying to serve? Like, yeah. How do you figure that out, really?
It can be so hard, especially for new business owners that are coming to us. I think, you know, we've found that it's easier, obviously, for seasoned business owners to answer that question, like, who is your audience? Who are you trying to reach? We asked a lot of the hard questions in terms of, you know, what are their values and what are your values as a business owner? Because you are not 100% your business, but you certainly need to be represented well in your business. So making sure that your personal values align with the clients that you're seeking, the customers that they're seeking, is really important. So, you know, you're not going to assume that every client or customer that a business is reaching is going to become your best friend, but you do want to think about, you know, you put your heart and soul into your business, you put your values into it. You want to make sure that you're aligning with those people that you're trying to reach. So yeah, we do. I mean, it's very hard for some people to answer those questions. And sometimes we ask them and people say, no one's ever asked me this before. And that's why it's such an important part of the design process that we ask those questions before we ever design anything. You know, sometimes we can spend weeks on that discovery process because you have to understand who you are and who your clients or customers are before we can design anything. It just doesn't work if we try to build it backwards.
Well, and you're hitting on something that I think is so important in brand storytelling. I think sometimes people come to the table with this idea of, well, I just want to sell. I just want to, you know, bottom line. And yes, you do want to do that. And we, you know, all of us who help these business owners succeed, we want that for you too. But part of that is telling an authentic brand story, as you mentioned. What are your values? Who are you? This is not just about moving product. It's also what's your motivation? What's your intention? What's the impact you're trying to make on a greater, bigger, broader level? And that's really what brand storytelling is all about. Yeah, you could just go to the dollar store and pick things up, but you know, what is your motivation here? What are you trying to achieve? And I think it is worthwhile to investigate those things because in the end, marketing, branding, design is an expression of who you are and what you're trying to achieve. And if you don't know those things, it's worthwhile to figure that out.
Absolutely. It could be the one thing that sets you apart from your competition. I mean, look, we're all out here trying to make money. Of course, you know, nobody wants to start a business and says, oh, I don't need to worry about money. We are all obviously trying to reach a certain bottom line, but you know, that brand story, those values that you embody, that then we try to encapsulate in a concise visual brand that's going to attract those people could be what makes or breaks your business. So it's very important for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, sometimes I think business owners make the mistake of not realizing how savvy audiences are now. They want to know who you are. They want to know what this means. What's the message you're trying to tell? What's the story you're trying to tell? And so you really have to fill in those blanks to have a rich, brand at all. You know, if you don't know what you're trying to say, you really can't build anything off of that. So
absolutely.
It sounds like those soft, you know, like soft skills, or it's like, oh, why are we bothering with this? I just want, you know, to move product, but it's really worthwhile so that people understand who you are. You can't build a brand if you have no idea who you are or your values or what you care about.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I know, so from before, so Curious & Company was something that you built with a co-founder, and it was a move for you. You know, I know sometimes something that I think about is, you know, all of us who work in creative fields, we have personal creative pursuits. We have things that are passion projects that we really love. They're just pure craft. And then when you make a career out of it, something that can be challenging is it's not yours anymore. It's really your skill, something you're passionate about, but you're really serving a different vision when it comes to that. Can you, and you know, and now you work with clients, so you're really supporting them and helping guide them, which can be kind of different. Like I know I started a photography business many years ago and I closed it almost immediately because I was like, this is not why I love photography. You know, I want to create art, and it's not art if I'm doing it like on a contract basis. Whereas you have found a way to really integrate it all in a way that really works for you. So can you kind of talk about that? Because I think sometimes creative folks, I mean, we've all heard, oh, you've sold out, you know, and I know a lot of us, I don't believe that, but I know it's something we all hear.
Yeah. I mean, it can be really hard, especially in a subjective field like design, because everybody has a different opinion on what's good and what's beautiful and what's perfectly representing them. So yeah, we do. I mean, I have to put my ego aside. We have to collectively, my business partner and I have to put our egos aside sometimes and not take feedback personally. I think, I went through a design program in college that really prepared me very well to be able to handle feedback and criticism. I think I learned there, maybe I didn't have a very thick skin at first and I needed to get some thicker skin. And so I'm usually able to kind of separate feedback from, my personal skills and talents as a designer. It's not saying that I'm not good at what I do. It's saying it's not what that client is looking for. But I think also as a creative, you need to be able to set clear boundaries with clients, both in terms of feedback, in terms of showing a limited number of design concepts. So, I mean, we are at a point now where we show a single concept after we've worked with a client for a few weeks or, however long in that brand discovery process. We expect them to trust us as the experts who know what we're doing to, they need to put that trust in us to show them the concept that we think is best. And then from there, obviously, if they have some issues or some things that they don't like, it's a lot easier to hear feedback based on a single concept. So by kind of setting up that clear boundary ahead of time, like here's what we're going to show you, here's why we want you to trust us as the experts. And we're not saying, well, we're just going to do whatever we want because we're the experts, but we're saying that we've heard what you've said. We've listened to, the answers that you took a lot of time putting together in your brand discovery and make sure that we're making sure that we fully understand it before we get to the design process. So, we've been very lucky. I feel like since we started limiting the number of concepts we show a client, it's the fact that we are doing something right in limiting what we show them and limiting the amount of feedback they can kind of give. So I feel like we're in a pretty comfortable position. But yeah, it's still hard sometimes when a client comes back and doesn't love something that you're totally in love with. And I think that's where, starting Balance Bound, which is more of it's obviously a retail line. It's not client driven at all. Obviously, we have customers that we're trying to please and, we want them to buy our things, but it's more of a project that like came from us. And so I guess we get out that extra creative energy there when we might be feeling a little bogged down by client feedback. But yeah, I think after years and years of experience handling criticism and seeing where it can often go off the rails if you're showing too many concepts or you're giving a client too much creative freedom, we've learned our position as the experts to kind of pull everything together in a way that still makes a client feel heard, but without having complete control over our process.
I would love to dig into that a little bit more because I think, I think a lot of times as people become more senior in your career, I think when you're more junior, kind of the way I know that I approach my work was like, oh, I like my systems were not set up, like for example, I know now as a senior creative and I lead teams at this point, it doesn't matter how big the project is. I want a small team on it. I'm not putting, larger teams or more team members, more problems. Mm-hmm. It actually works best to do fewer meetings that are very targeted. It works better to have a 3-person team at the core of it. And so you just mentioned, and it's, we've all heard that joke from clients, make the logo bigger. It doesn't matter how big it is. It's always got to be bigger, and it's like the joke for all of us. Mm-hmm. For you moving to a system where you only show one concept, that is kind of, I would say a little bit radical because I know we've all been there. I need to see 10 concepts, so for you to have gotten to one, and for the most part, I see people usually propose maybe 3 concepts, I would say that's usually where people land. So for y'all to do only one, I would love to hear more about like, what is your thought process for that? When you switched to that system, what did you learn? Like, what did you start to see in terms of the impact and how it made things better? Because clearly that's working for you.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it was terrifying at first to say, we're going to make this change. And we didn't know if we were going to have any clients once we kind of laid that forth. But I think it puts a lot of trust. Clients put a lot of trust in us knowing that we have had now 12 years to refine this system. So they do trust that we haven't made this decision flippantly to only show them a single concept. And we're very clear about it upfront. So if it's a client who is used to seeing 3, 5, 10 concepts, and that's what they're looking for, they kind of know right off the bat that we're probably not the team for them. And so that kind of weeds out the types of clients that aren't going to understand our process very early on. The clients that do feel okay with it, they tend to be able to have a much easier time handing over creative control. So it has really leveled the playing field a lot, that we're not constantly battling with clients about, no, this is what you get. We can't show you more. People just understand right off the bat.
To be honest, I think this is a really good thing to bring up because most people don't work like this. So yeah. I think it's really great when you develop a kind of innovative solution, why it works for you, you know, like what's challenging, you know, like how you figure out the right situation for that system. I think it's pretty cool.
I think we've found that when we used to show, you know, say three concepts up front, clients would be often torn between two concepts and they would say, well, I really like the font of this concept, but I love the icon in this concept. Can we combine them? And we kind of affectionately call that Frankensteining concepts. Yeah. I mean, that's not necessarily always a good choice. Sometimes it may work. Often it does not. So we have found that even if we're doing a lot of sketching behind the scenes and have our own opinions about, you know, things that we like, but might not be the best for this client, and we only show them one, it does seem easier that even if we don't hit the mark with that first concept, because we still build in additional proof rounds, we're not expecting that we're going to show a client a concept and they're going to say, yes, print it, I love it. We still build in that time for feedback, but we have found that they're able to give feedback on a single concept a lot more articulately. So they can say what they don't like about that single concept. And then maybe we can go back to the drawing board and our sketches and say, maybe we should explore this based on their specific feedback about the font or the color palette. So it just kind of, it still allows us to, by the end of the process, have something that they're completely enamored with. And we feel like we put our best work into it, without feeling like, well, we cobbled together three concepts into one and now we have no idea what in the world we are giving this client. So it just seems to work better to streamline things from our point of view. And I think it helps the client feel more heard because they have that single concept to give us feedback on.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great idea because, you know, I actually, there's an episode of this podcast from earlier in the season all about feedback. And a big point of discussion in that episode is about how feedback can't just make a difference, it's got to make it better. And if you're not careful and thoughtful and intentional and throughout the feedback process, you can actually muddy the final product, whereas less strategic, less sharp, less specific. And of course, that's not at all what we're here to do. So I really like this idea that you're proposing because I can see how it creates more of a intentional development framework that leads to better outcomes. So I think it's really interesting. I've gotten myself down to two or three, but the idea Great. Of just doing one is a good idea.
Yeah. And we've also tried to politely remind people that their friends and family might not be their ideal client and should not always be the sounding board, because we are working with a lot of small business owners who might be solopreneurs and they want to show everyone they know. And that was when it got especially muddied, when we would show them three concepts and guess what? Everyone in their family liked a different one. So, you know, we still try to advise them to keep this just between your trusted advisors and you. But at least if they do feel like they need to show a few people, they're all looking at that single concept and collecting feedback accordingly.
Yeah. Well, too, I would imagine that's probably a particular quirk of working with small businesses, you know, because it really is a different way of working, a different way of collaborating, because they have very different needs. And it's even further than, it's not just their business, it's the way they work. It's all the hats they wear, because they're doing a lot. Like there's probably one or two parts that they are experts in, then there are other parts that they are just getting it done. They're not necessarily accountants as their, you know, first, you know, point of training. They're like, there are certain parts of their business that they're just trying to make work. And obviously if they're working with you, they're looking for you for branding guidance. And they just are not, small businesses are just not those people where they have focus groups and all of those other things. Like their way of working is completely different from a more mid to large size business.
Yeah. And at the same time, they're so much more personally invested because for most of these people, this is their baby that they've been working on for years, and rebranding can be a really scary thing and a frightening investment for a lot of people. So we're there to make it as painless and hopefully successful as possible at the end of the process.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I love working with small businesses because I think it's such a particular niche skill set. But I think it's fascinating. All right. So in addition to taking on clients through Curious and Company, you also have experience designing and launching a branded product line from scratch. And they're really beautiful. I've seen them. I've been watching along from the sidelines. What can you kind of tell us from that experience, you know, starting something from nothing into, I mean, how many years has it been now? It's been a few at this point, right?
Yeah. So we launched the Balance Bound Planner. I mean, it had kind of been in the works since 2018, just kind of an inkling in my brain because I'm a planner person. I need a physical paper planner in front of me. Even if I still have the Google Calendar for all of the, you know, family schedule and things like that, I need a physical planner next to me to stay focused on my workday and, you know what's to come. And there is nothing like the satisfaction of checking off a to-do. So I really just, you know, I created it because it was something I physically needed. And then when I thought, well, this might be something other people need, I started to kind of prototype it and send some very rudimentary samples to friends and say, you know, test this out. So it was really a full year between 2018 and 2019 of figuring out if this was something we wanted to do. And then we launched it in 2019. The 2020 planner was our first collection. As we know, 2020 was, you know, kind of a mess. So there was that meme that was going around like, you know, the biggest money I wasted in 2020 was on a planner. And I was thinking, no, you know, it's still the tool that you really need. And honestly, for me and for a handful of our customers that I heard from that truly kept me going, because we very easily could have thrown in the towel after that horrific year. But just hearing from people that this planner and the way it was laid out really helped people stay grounded during a really chaotic time really pushed me to keep it going and keep improving and iterating. So yeah, we're going to be sending the 2023 collection out to customers who have pre-ordered, and it has really been a gratifying process. It has been terrifying in a lot of ways because we don't have a client to answer to. There's something about a client giving you a very clear yes or no that is actually comforting. And when you launch your own product line, you are calling the shots. And my business partner puts a lot of trust in me with this line because it is my baby. And there's times that I wonder if I know what I'm doing. So I think the clear cut answers that we get from clients in Curious and Company kind of balances out the terrifying nature of creating a product line that we are paying a lot of money to have it produced before clients ever have it in their hands and purchase it. So it's been a very different process, but it's also been a great reminder that I have to tell my own story as well. And I have to tell the story of this brand in a whole different way from the story we tell as branding designers and as a service-based company versus now a product-based line. Like, how do we tell that story and attract customers in, you know, a much larger audience of customers that we need to be able to sustain this? So it's been really fascinating, and it has worked my brain in ways that I didn't know I could.
Well, I have tons of questions for you on this, but what I will do is I'll roll us back just a little bit too. Can you kind of share, because Balance Bound, actually, that line actually has a core mission that is at the center of it, you know, of something you're trying that makes it special, kind of about who you are, you know, as a brand and a company, what you're trying to achieve. Can you kind of share what the Balance Bound line is?
Yes. So ultimately, the line of products started with this planner that I created to help busy people organize their to-dos, set boundaries, and prioritize self-care. So the difference in how it's laid out, it's really what I needed for my brain to function with all of the different roles I play. So I'm a mom, I'm a business owner, I own a home with my husband, you know, I have different people in my life that I care for. And so I kind of came up with this idea of having a category or having a planner that each day is divided into these four categories, very broad categories: work, self, others, and home. And honestly, when I started it, I realized that that self section was always empty. I was doing literally nothing for myself. And I, you know, was feeling like a shell of a human with two small kids. And I just needed to kind of get my life back in order for me and take care of myself. So, you know, as a designer, obviously, I think design is an amazing problem-solving tool. So the picture in my head was this vertical, you know, daily layout of these four sections with the icons are the check marks. So it's, you know, work is a little folder, self is a little battery, others is a heart, and home is the little map icon. So it just visually helps me sort all of my to-dos on a daily basis and see where I'm spending so much time taking care of other people, where I might need to delegate some of that care, for instance, for the kids or cooking dinner, and where I can build in time for myself. So that's really the core of what the product line is about. And I loved using my design background and kind of my type A need for order, love of a planner, all in one great product that other people like too, which is a nice bonus.
That's great. Yeah. I just want to ask about that because I know that there's a very particular purpose for this line. And so I just want to make sure that we talked about that. Now for you, developing a product line, I've never done it. I'm just going to imagine it is quite the process. Can you kind of talk there and share, you know, there are a lot of designers that listen to this podcast. Can you kind of talk about what is your process or approach, you know, what was it when you came to developing this line, like from inception to actually holding that product in your hands? Can you kind of give us the top level view of how you approached that and moved it along the process with confidence?
You know, with confidence is, it's iffy if I did it with confidence or just blind trust that I was going to figure it out. But I was very, very lucky that I had a ton of experience in print design. So while we do a lot of branding and we also do, you know, web design and digital design with Curious & Company, my background is really in print. So I was no stranger to speaking the printer language and understanding print specifications. So I started putting out feelers for different people who could print this planner that I had in mind. I also wanted to keep production in the US, which was a whole host of other challenges based on a product like this to keep it reasonably priced for customers and to feel like we're supporting another US-based small business. So, you know, I did have that background. I think understanding the print terminology and things like keeping the interior design black and white to keep printing costs low, but to really focus on having beautiful, varied cover designs to suit different tastes, I could make that the priority and still maintain the integrity of the design on the interior. So, you know, definitely talking to a lot of printers, a lot of troubleshooting and understanding how the paper industry works and bindery and just all of those lessons from my experience as a designer for over 20 years now really came into play. And I was really able to flex that muscle that, you know, I kind of took for granted that maybe I understood these parts of the design industry that weren't real sexy and weren't real exciting, but they resulted in being able to build this product line really, you know, completely from scratch and put something out there that I knew was a high quality product.
What you're making me think about is, I know something that's served me well, like you and I have different craft practices, you know, in our career. I'm content based and you are design based. But I know something, you're making me think of something that has always served me well in my career, and that's to be brave and to be confident that I may take on a project that's a little bit scary. Maybe it's something I've never done before, but I have the confidence that I can figure it out. I can find the collaborators. I can find the processes. I can find the tools. I can figure this out to bring it to life. It sounds like that was in play for you here in creating this product line. I mean, does that resonate with you at all?
Absolutely. I love in Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants, she says, just say yes and then figure it out. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing, she said it more eloquently, but honestly, like, I love that attitude. I feel like I've always had that attitude in life. And I've kind of always had that in the back of my mind. Also more, Marie Forleo's Everything is Figure Outable. Those, I mean, there's so many roadblocks that we've hit with this product line, and I'm not someone that gives up easily, but I also just have those little lines in the back of my head on a daily basis. Like, everything is figure outable. This is a problem I can solve. I can, you know, I can pivot here. I can say yes and figure it out later because I always have. So yeah, I think, you know, there's some confidence, there's some bravery. And then there's just also like sheer determination that I'm just not someone that gives up, and I'm going to, you know, not that I have a lot of naysayers, but if there are any, I'm going to prove them wrong that I can do this.
Well, and you had some, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier in our conversation, but I think you have some interesting things to say about your thoughts on problem solving. Can you kind of share some of those thoughts with everyone who's listening?
Yeah, I truly think design is ultimately like 70% problem solving and 30% talent. You know, the numbers may vary a little bit there, but I think especially when I'm having a creative block or imposter syndrome, feeling like I'm not the best designer, I'm not this or that, I'm reminded that I'm a really good problem solver. So even if the creativity is blocked in some way, if there's one thing that I've always found a way to do, it's to come up with an interesting way to solve a problem. So sometimes taking a step back from the actual creative design and thinking about the problem that I'm trying to solve is kind of what makes something go smoothly again. So, I mean, and that's something I struggle with daily. I think there's not a creative person out there who doesn't have imposter syndrome or hit creative blocks. So looking at every creative pursuit as just a new problem that needs to be solved. I think about, you know, again, my design program, I went to the University of Delaware. It was a small design program, and we didn't call things assignments. They were called problems. And so that from an early age of my design career just put me in this mindset that there's a solution for every problem, and I can find the creative solution, you know, by taking that step back.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times I say, and I remember there was a big change in my career when I started, you know, I know this sounds so obvious, but I think when you're young in your career, you see the flashing lights and the pretty pictures, and that's what you get all dialed into. Whereas now I get so excited about the strategy and the outcomes, because I think now we are both at points in our career where, yeah, I can solve this issue 100 different ways on 100 different days with all kinds of colorways and frameworks. And, you know, the how is endless, but what gets really exciting is figuring out how are you solving the core foundational problem that's in play. And I think that's a really exciting thing to think about and figure out. And then you can just go to town with all of the ways that, you know, we can bring that to life creatively.
Absolutely. And when you feel that gratification of solving a problem in a unique way, you know, it just reminds you that it's limitless. Like, your creativity can solve most problems.
Yes. Yeah, we can do it. Now, what are one of the big problems you've had to solve that stuck with you?
So I would say probably the biggest problem that it started to just feel like a comedy of errors was our current planner collection, our 2022 Balance Bound planner collection that we launched last fall. We typically launch pre-orders in September and then hope to deliver our inventory as it arrives in October, early November at the latest. Here we were Thanksgiving of last year, and we ran into literally every production, supply chain, freight issue that you could imagine with these planners. I mean, literally, I would wake up every morning and just see what problem awaited me in my inbox that day. it got to a point that I was really reminding myself everything is figure outable, like on a minute by minute basis, because it felt so hard. But it was also something that I physically could not give up. There were customers who were counting on us. We had a lot of money in this product line. We had, you know, this inventory, it was going to arrive at some point. And so we had to figure out solutions to keep marketing it and selling it and keep the customers who are waiting for their pre-orders happy. So I feel like since I got through that last year, I can get through anything. We certainly sent our productions to print much earlier this year to anticipate any of those, you know, supply chain issues, which are still happening, especially in the paper world. So I would say just really using those experiences, using them to plan better the next time you encounter a similar situation, but just keeping in mind that figure outable attitude and rolling with the punches and learning how to pivot has been one of the best lessons I could have ever gotten with being a business owner, especially after a pandemic.
Well, yeah. Well, and I can see it too, just as someone who has cheered you on from the sidelines. Every year I can see your line expands and gets bigger and more powerful. So clearly you're figuring it out as you go along and evolving, you know, with each iteration of the collection. So that's pretty cool.
Thank you.
And then I can kind of wrap us up. You know, I love talking to people at all different points in their career. And you are, you know, I would put you as a senior creative, you know, so you've been in a lot of different situations. You've seen some stuff
in your day.
You know, as you kind of think back over your career and the work that you've done over, you know, I guess decades at this point, it makes me barf a little in my mouth when I say that about myself, but,
I know.
But over time, what's one big lesson or piece of advice you'd want to share with, you know, other brand storytellers out there? What's something you would want to leave them with?
I think, you know, keeping in mind that sometimes the greatest lessons and outcomes in creative work lie in having to pivot to plan B or C or D. And so really opening yourself up to that creative process and sometimes surrendering to the fact that plan A is not going to work out as you had planned, but sometimes even better things lie in that, you know, like I said, it could go on to plan Z, who knows, but just being open to that and not letting yourself get too frustrated. I mean, I think as creatives, we all have those frustrating moments when things don't go your way, but knowing that the next solution can be better and better if you just open yourself up to that possibility.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in here today to talk to us about your work and the things that you've learned and the problems you've solved. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Bye.